Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Current Events with Patrick Cook. I am your host, Patrick Cook, coming to you live from Dallas, Texas, as I do every Sunday at 4 p.m. Central Time, 5 o'clock Eastern Time. Once again, it is great to be with you. Today our focus is on education in America, and we will be joined by Dr. Monica Lewis, a passionate educator, motivator, and speaker. Dr. Lewis is also the executive director of Nehemiah Christians Academy. You can go to our website at www.nehemiahchristianacademy.org. Again, that address is www.nehemiahchristianacademy.org. Now, to join the conversation, contact us at 323-580-5712. Once again, that number is 323-580-5712. Now, for those of you that are listening or visiting the website, leave your comments. I have a chat room open today. Click the follow button or follow me on Twitter for real-time updates, and that's TaylorMade101. Now, in just a few minutes, Dr. Lewis will be joining us in our segment called E is equal to MC squared. Now, I started this segment not in the traditional sense of energy is equal to mass times speed of light, but E is equal to education. And so education is equal to more career choices. So our segment E is equal to MC squared is basically saying that when you have the right education, it gives you access to more career choices. And we'll be discussing education in America as well. We will talk about the documentary Waiting for Superman and discuss the provisions in President Obama's Race to the Top initiative. But first, let's take a look at our current events. Now, this week's moment of reflection is a little disturbing. Now, recall a little over a year ago at a joint session of Congress, a Republican member of Congress rudely interrupted President Obama's speech on the floor of the House of Representatives when he yelled, "You lie," at the president in reference to the president's assertion that his proposals wouldn't provide health insurance to illegal immigrants. Now, the Associated Press identified this member of Congress as Representative Joe Wilson of South Carolina. Now, this week, Republican gubernatorial candidate Paul LePage said the following. Now, people, when I first heard it, I was in awe. And so hopefully this is not too shocking to you, but it was really shocking to me. He said the following. "As your governor, you're going to be seeing a lot of me on the front page saying Governor LePage tells Obama to go to hell." That's right. Let me say that one more time. He said, "As your governor, you're going to be seeing a lot of me on the front page saying Governor LePage tells Obama to go to hell." And what's even more disturbing is that the audience he was speaking to was applauding his comments. What is wrong with our nation? We are in the most worst economic times in my lifetime. But the situation was not created by the incumbent president. Now, this issue that we're all facing, President Obama didn't cause it. People are losing their homes. Our education system is worse than it's ever been. Yet we are fooling ourselves into thinking that it's the president's fault. I don't understand it. I would love to get your comments about what the gubernatorial candidate Paul LePage said. It was just shocking to me. In the meantime, I'm not going to spend too much time on that, but it was really, really odd to see last year around the same time someone disrespect the president, and then we see it again. But in the meantime, I'm going to share you what the president is really doing and to remind you to get involved. Now, as I stated a few weeks ago, people continue to get on the president about creating jobs. I want to remind you that it's the president's responsibility to create the policies that will facilitate job creation and not job creation itself. So this week, as many of you know, you may not know that president signed the Small Business Act. Okay, so I want you to take a moment, get a pen, call some friends, do whatever you need to take. I want you to take time to listen at the policies or the things that he did. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I talked about all the things that were in the health care bill. Now I want to talk to you about the small business component that he just signed. Remember, his job is to create the policies that enable job creation by business. And take a look at what happened. Now, the bill includes a series of small business proposals that the president put forth earlier this year. and small businesses will start benefiting from them immediately. Among the many important provisions in the bill, 12 of the top benefits to small business are the following. Now, I'm not going to enumerate them all, but I want you to listen closely to these particular issues. Now, the first one is extension of successful small business recovery loan provisions, immediately supporting loans to over 1,400 small businesses. Now, with these funds provided in the bill, the SBA will begin funding new recovery loans within a few days. Now, starting with more than 1,400 businesses with loans totaling more than $730 million. Now, these loans are waiting in the recovery loan queue. In total, the extension of these provisions that the president signed provides the capacity to support $14 billion in loans to small businesses. Now, the SBA recovery loan provisions have already supported $30 billion, and they have lent to 70,000 small businesses. Again, his job is to create the policies that are associated with job creation. He's doing that. The second thing that I want to talk to you about with respect to the Small Business Act, and the reason why I want this is really important because most businesses fail because of insufficient capital. You know, a common fatal mistake for many failed businesses is having insufficient operating funds. You know, business owners underestimate how much money is needed to get started. A lot of times they are unrealistic about the expectations of the income and revenue for sales. So here's what the president did. Now, he doubled the maximum loan size of the largest SBA programs. Let me give you an example. The bill increased the maximum loan size for SBA loan programs, which in the coming weeks will allow more small businesses to access more credit to allow them to expand and create new jobs. The bill will permanently raise the maximum size for SBA's two largest loan programs, increasing the maximum 7(8) and 504 loans from $2 million to $5 million, and the maximum 504 manufacturing-related loan from $4 million to $5.5 million. In addition, it will temporarily increase the maximum loan size for SBA Express loans from $350,000 to $1 million, providing greater access to working capital. Again, most businesses fail because of insufficient capital. He just signed a bill to increase the capital for those Express loans from $350,000 to $1 million. This is very, very significant. In fact, when I started TaylorMade several months ago, it's a technology and managerial consultant firm, and my concern was, you know, that 350 cap. Now, what could I do? How could I insert myself into the market with so few funds? But now this increased to $1 million. $1 million changes things. It really changes things. And so it's very, very significant signing of this bill. Now, a couple of more things, and then we'll move on here. But he also signed a new $30 billion small business lending fund. He created an initiative to strengthen innovative state small business program, supporting over $15 billion in lending. There's 8 new small business tax cuts, effective immediately. Let me say that one more time. 8 new small business tax cuts. A lot of people in opposition are always talking about how tax cuts are important. They're in this bill. This means that zero taxes on capital gains from key small business investments. Now, under the Recovery Act, 75% of capital gains on key small business investments this year were excluded from taxes. He gave an extension and an expansion of small business ability to immediately expense capital investments. There was extension of 50% bonus depreciation. And here's one most people will like when it comes to cell phones. Now, there is an increase in deduction for entrepreneur startup expenses, and there's a five-year carryback of general business credit. Now, the limitations on penalties for errors in tax reporting that were disproportionately affecting small business has also been changed. So there's a lot of things that were changed in this bill that is going to effectively enable people to start up businesses and to stay in the businesses. So, you know, I'm not real sure what the hoop law is all about, but I would love to get your comments on it. It is really, really staggering to hear all of the comments, all the negativity that's going on when he's actually putting policies in place. He's actually moving. I mean, even though when he's been faced with many, many, many days and months and Sundays of opposition, he's still able to get things done. Now, again, to join the conversation, contact us at 323-580-5712. Again, the number to call is 323-580-5712. Now, so I must continue to let people know the magnitude of what the president has been able to accomplish in just a little over 20 months. Folks, that is less than 2 years. I mean, the magnitude of the issues that we were faced with when he took over office, and to be able to stabilize the economy, to be able to create policies, to be able to generate more jobs, to be able to master something that many, many, many presidents that was unable to do before him, you know, i.e. through the health care bill. I mean, there's a number of things that this administration has been able to accomplish, so I'm not real sure what all the negativity is about. Now, we now turn to our special guest, Dr. Monica Lewis. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Wonderful. Now, Dr. Monica Lewis is the Chief Executive Officer and Executive Director of Nehemiah Christians Academy. Again, I said go to her website at www.nehemiahchristiansacademy.org. So, Dr. Lewis, tell our listeners a little bit about you and your school.
Okay, and how are you doing today, Professor?
I am wonderful.
That's great, great. Well, basically, our school is here in Cedar Hill, Texas. We are online, so we are global. But here in Cedar Hill, we do have a facility. We can house about 50 students right now. And 3rd through 12th grade is all online. We do offer K through 2nd. And basically, it's just a very small environment. Our classrooms are pretty much the ratio is 1 to 15. And we really cater to the student. We're trying to edify and build the students based on a lot of our students just need smaller environments. They can't handle real big classrooms. They need the one-on-one attention. And then we cater their curriculum based on their needs, where their strengths and where their weaknesses are, and bring them all together to create a curriculum. And there you have it, and they're in school.
Wonderful, wonderful. It's great. It's a pleasure to have and an honor to have you on the show today. I also wanted to mention that you were featured on Education in the Nation. There's a website reported of the success rate that you're having in your schools. You want to talk a little bit about your success rate?
Well, basically, you still have to be competitive, even though you're a private school. And you also, even though we don't do the TEKS or the tax standardized testing, you still want to have a standardized model of testing to be able to gauge the student and see where, you know, he's been successful at throughout the year, to actually see if your curriculum's working. And so we do the Stafford exam, which most private schools do. There also is another exam called the Iowa exam. And we've chosen the Stafford because students are able to basically take their time. It's not a time test. And it does cover all of the 5 basic skills and some vocabulary. And our students did very well. We had some students that were under the curve, under their learning curve. They actually won the 2 grades ahead, and that's basically what the scorecard on Education Nation is showing, that our students tested very well in that standardized test.
That's absolutely wonderful. I know the president keeps mentioning that he wants to actually use the best practices, and now, he's not so concerned with these traditional models if they're not working. So I think what you're doing is really, really great. I applaud your efforts. I know it's a long time coming for you. So, again, great, great, great job. Now, again, to join the conversation, contact us at 323-580-5712. Again, that number is 323-580-5712. I'm going to go to our phone lines right now. Hello, you're on Current Events with Patrick Cook.
Patrick, this is Leo Baron Hicks. How are you, sir?
Hey, Mr. Hicks, how are you?
You know I can't help but call you, man. You know I got to support you and what you do. I think you're doing a great job, Mr. Cook.
I appreciate that. Now, today we're talking about education. I created this segment I called E is equal to MC squared, meaning education is equal to more career choices. We're joined today by Dr. Monica Lewis, the Chief Executive Officer and Executive Director of Nehemiah Christians Academy. She's doing wonderful, great things. We're going to be talking about education today. And specifically, Waiting for Superman is getting a lot of public attention. Now, for our listeners out there, Waiting for Superman is a new documentary about education reform by an Inconvenient Truth director, Davis Guggenheim. The movie examines the public education crisis through interlocking stories from a handful of students and their families. It talks about dropout factories and lemon dances. It talks about lotteries and all of these great things. I would encourage you to go out there and see it. And so I want to open the dialogue right now to talk a little bit about the documentary and about, you know, one, what's wrong with our education system? So, Dr. Lewis, I'll start with you. What's wrong with our education system?
Well, in a nutshell, a couple of my doctoral buddies and I have started a collaboration, a series called When the School Bus Has a Flat. And basically, the issue is that school is broken from the time the student leaves the door of their own home to the time they get on the bus until they get to the classroom. And the reason for that is because we have parents who have socioeconomic issues that the school system doesn't want to address because they feel like it's too personal, they don't want to get involved. And technically, for this thing to be successful called education, we have no choice but to get involved. The second issue is from the time the student gets on the bus until he gets to the classroom, you have these teachers that are very passionate about what they do, but their hands are tied because of this standardized testing. So we're teaching to the test, but we're really not teaching the students. And so, you know, you have this issue where it's a domino effect. So we have to fix the school bus in order to fix the classroom, and you have to really, it has to come threefold, Patrick. There's no other way to take care of that. You have to have a triangular system like we have at our school. We have parents and teachers sign a contract that they're responsible just like we're responsible. You're not going to drop your student off at our door to raise them. We're going to do it together. It has to be a three-part system, the administrator, the teacher, and the parent, and the student. So it's really four parts of it. But that's really what the issue is. And we
Mr. Hicks, so who's the blame? I mean, obviously, there's many, many people, successful people, came up through this education system we're talking about. So, I mean, over the past 20 years, we've seen a degradation of our scores, of our children's scores and their academic performance. But who's to blame? Who's at fault now? It's the same system that we went through. Anderson High School is the school that I graduated from. It's still there, still going through the same thing. I mean, so what's different now than before?
Are you asking me that question, Pat?
Yeah, I was saying, Pat? Who's to blame?
Well, you know, Pat, I'll tell you, I don't carry a torch for public schools, but I'm troubled by the fact that really what we're talking about is a breakdown of society in general, not just the public schools.
Hmm.
And public schools are now being required to act as loco parentis, i.e., in place of parents. And I'm not quite sure that is a proper role for public schools. Public schools, the mission thereof is to educate people. It is not to be their parents. It is not too for teachers to take money out of their own pocket to pay for school supplies because the school district won't do it. It is not to fend off verbal and physical assaults from students who are literally carrying guns and beating up on teachers. And I'd like to throw a slightly different slant into the conversation and ask your guests to respond accordingly. In some African-American communities, the high school graduation rate is 20%. Now, for the most part, this is the same public schools that other ethnic groups, be they Hispanic, Asian, people from India, who are excelling in public schools. And I think we need to take a real long, hard look at ourselves to come up with answers for why our kids are failing.
Dr. Lewis, your comment?
Yeah, I do. And how are you there, Mr. Hicks?
How you doing, ma'am?
Doing just great. I need to come see you again, so be on the lookout for me.
Anytime. I know it's always
okay.
About money.
Okay. And I want to answer your question. Once again, as I've stated, we know it's a socioeconomic issue, but you have parents that, you know, they may be learning challenged. They may not have graduated from high school or haven't had any post-secondary education, and they don't know how to address their student that they want to exceed beyond where they've exceeded. And they have a real hard time asking or, you know, just trying to get assistance because they don't want anyone to know that they have an issue as well or had an issue as well. As far as the ethnic groups that you were describing, ethnic and Latino, sad to say, they have a stronger village than we do at this present time. We had it as African Americans at one time, but we've gotten away from, you know, the take a village to raise a child. So they don't have a problem pooling together their resources within their ethnicity to get that child to excel or to succeed. They also have figured out the point that if you take this student and you groom him and create a nucleus around him, that he could be the winning or the prize factor to change the socioeconomic situation not only in their neighborhood but also in their family. So, you know, it's almost like pretty much when God chose Jesus, you know, to be our Savior. And it's sad to say that, but you can have a Savior within your community or within your family that can take your situation and change it for generations to come. And they figured that out, and we just haven't embraced that yet.
Time, you know, I talk about the fact that over the years we didn't have that problem. I mean, there's countless examples where people were able to pool their resources, get together and things of that nature. And you mentioned that, you know, a lot of times they may be learning challenged and they don't understand the resources. But, I mean, so what's wrong with them asking for resources? I mean, when you talk about them not knowing, I mean, if I cut myself, I know I'm smart enough to know I can't sew myself up. I know to go get help. So, you know, in a similar situation, why is it that if the parents know that they can't do anything for themselves, why they don't reach out for help?
Well, we've become a society where, Patrick, that if you're not showing that you're in acceleration mode, then you're not in any mode at all. So, therefore, there's a lot of pride within the black community as well, and we haven't figured out how to channel that pride versus what our needs are. We'll tell someone if we're hurting or if our car is fixed, if, you know, needs to be repaired, but when it comes to that educational component, we have a hard time not letting people know in our community that we have these issues or we need assistance with these issues because we have made it such a prominent factor now that it's very important to do so. So it's almost like if you haven't made it to that mark, you've not only let your family and community down, but you've let yourself down, and you don't want anyone to know that. So you channel all this energy towards your kids, but they need you to come in and let them know that it's okay that even though you have an issue, that you're willing to do your part as well. And I'll give you a prime example. We had a student last year, learning challenge, and mother was learning challenge going to school as well when she was younger. And her main focus was that she was going to do whatever she had to do to make sure that her son excelled and succeeded. She didn't have a problem coming and saying to you that I was learning challenge when I was a student as well. And because she's made up her mind that she's going to take her children and allow them to make a difference. And even though she's pretty much successful as well, she struggled along the way, but she's had a good struggle. But she understands the importance of her son getting an education. Now, also, another issue is that we as a people have not figured out, you know, this homeschool and private school thing has been around for years, okay? You have other ethnic backgrounds that have embraced that and have taken, you know, taken advantage of that for a very, very long time. And we're still at that point where we're okay with spending $120, $160 on a pair of Jordans, but we won't take that to academically challenge our child. So that's the other component of it, too, and it's just we do not know for lack of knowledge. So, and that's why we decided to open our school to put that component out there to let people know that you can homeschool your child, that you can take another alternative, and it does not have to be an expensive alternative in order for your kid to get a decent education. So it's really about knowledge.
Wonderful. So you talked about, we talked about what's wrong with our education system. We kind of said, you know, who's to blame, so now I want to know, how do we fix it?
Education is key, Patrick.
Absolutely.
You know,
well,
we
still need to educate our community.
We need to let them know that there are alternatives. A lot of our parents don't understand that even though your student takes this test and if they don't pass it, that you have a right to go to your school or contact the school, the administration, or even contact Austin here in Texas. Let them know that you want the test to be, you know, recalculated. You know, there's a lot of factors. We have just, when a school district or a principal or a teacher tell us something, we've gotten to the point where we're just like, okay. Well, it's not okay. We need to get out. We need to ask questions. We need to research, go to someone else, and try to find out answers. We have gotten away from trying to find the answers. And so that's the answer. We need to educate. We need to get involved with the community and let them know that there are other alternatives out there, that if you're not happy with them, then you can do something different.
Outstanding. So we only have a few more minutes here. I want to say thanks to all our listeners for tuning in. I would like to thank my very special guest today, Dr. Monica Lewis. It was indeed a pleasure to have you join us today. And so how can people get more information from you? How can they contact you? What if I have a child, I need to get my child in your school? What do I do?
Well, you can contact us. You can take a look at our website and look at some of the great things we're doing at www.nehemiah, N-E-H-E-M-I-A-H, Christian Academy, all one word.org. You can also reach us globally at 800-293-6113. Our local number is 972-293-6114. Give us a call. Come by. We're at 103 East Beltline Road, Suite N in Cedar Hill, Texas. We'd love for you to come by while our students are engaged in learning, see what we're all about, take a tour of our facility. It's great. Hope to see
you.
Wonderful.
So I really appreciate you giving that information out, and I want to remind our listeners that you can always go back and download the iTunes, and then you should be able to get that information and use that information. So please join us next week as we take a look at the current events with Patrick Cook. I'm your host, Patrick Cook, coming to you live from Dallas, Texas, as I do every Sunday at 4 p.m. Central Time. Don't forget to bookmark the site. I'll visit my blog at tailormade101.blogspot.com. Until next time, remember it is written, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. So stay engaged, stay informed, and stay plugged in to current events with Patrick Cook. Any final comments, Mr. Hicks?
Not at all. And I hope you, I think your show was great. It's always great. And I hope you give me a call too, Patrick, because we're going to have an interesting conversation follow-up last week, and I'd like your opinion on something.
Absolutely, and that is Solutions with Leo Baron Hicks. We can continue the conversation and get into some more thought-provoking conversation with Solutions with Leo Baron Hicks. Thank you all for your time. I really appreciate it.
Bye-bye.